Let's give our choir a great big hand. Amen for leading us tonight. Pastor Becky. Hallelujah. My God, I long to worship Him. Amen. Worshiping the Lord's fun. They call it sacrifice, but it's a sacrifice of love. To love Him because He first loved us. Amen. Appreciate you being here tonight. Tonight we're going to be looking at the church at Pergamos. Amen. I tell you, as I research this church, I'm finding out more and more. This church parallels the parable of the mustard seed, false growth in the kingdom. Resembles a tree, looks like a tree, but don't produce the effects of a tree. Fowls of the air come and lodge in the branches of it. Church took on abnormal proportions of growth, but got away from its original vision, got away from its original purpose. And I don't always believe in crowds. Christ wasn't ever impressed with them. He knew only a few of them were His actual disciples. But I want to look at this, and I want to read the scripture tonight from the church at Pergamos, Revelation 2. Amen. Appreciate our visitors being here tonight. Amen. Let's give them a hand as we get started tonight. Amen. I appreciate Pastor Becky's help in helping me getting these outlines together. And I tell you what, these churches are loaded. They are, and I tell you what, understand the church age began with the parable of the sower. That was the church at Ephesus. And it will end with the parable of the dragnet, which is the parable of the church of Laodicea, where men were neither cold nor hot but lukewarm. This church age, I do not believe, will end in revival. It will end in judgment. I do believe there'll be a remnant that will be experiencing a major outpouring. But I believe it will come in spots. The early rains came in light showers, softened the soil, germinated the seed. But the latter rains will come as gully washers and hasten the harvest. But here, in my estimation, in my study, the church has got distracted from its original purpose. And if the fire of God is not falling in our midst, there's a reason why it's not falling in our midst. The fire is the sign of God's acceptance and the sign of God's approval. When God accepted an offering, He received it by fire. And I really believe that when Christ stood as our great high priest, cried, "Blessed, blessed, blessed," fire and glory came to the upper room. But what bothers me is when I tell people that the fire of the Lord don't fall in our churches anymore. Why? Because church history will reveal that the more loose we become in our living, the less power with God we're going to have. When the world comes in, and I want the lost to come in, but I will never let a sinner dictate to me how I worship and how I live. Amen. Can I get a witness in this place? Let me, verse 12, to the angel of the church at Pergamos write, "These things saith he which has the sharp sword with two edges." They've got a choice here. They can either face the sword of Caesar, or they can face the sword of Christ. And how about you? I'd rather face the sword of Caesar. If there's sin rooted in this place, He's got a sword that can cut it out of here. He said, "I'll come fight against you myself with the sword of my mouth." I don't want the Lord suiting up, come fighting me. I just don't want that. He said, "I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my name, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication." He used his prophetic gift for material gain. And by that one act, according to Numbers 24 and 25, 24,000 people died as an act of that compromise. Every time he opened up his mouth, blessing came out. He said, "Oh, King, it's not working. If you really want to curse Israel, teach them to commit fornication, eat things sacrificed to idols, teach them to walk in disobedience to God, and it will take care of itself." Oh, boy. Amen. The Bible says here, by the way, the spirit of fornication speaks of wrong relationship. Amen. "So thou hast also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate." We've already dealt with this from Ephesus. "Repent, or else I will come to thee quickly and will fight against you with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. And I'll give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." Amen. You may be seated tonight. Praise God. The church at Era, the church at Pergamos, literally spoke of the elevated, the indulging church. Pergamos, literally, from its very meaning, meant marriage or elevation. Each local congregation is encouraged to be kept pure. You may not know this, but at the wedding, I will be the best man that will walk you down the aisle to present you a chaste virgin unto Christ. Amen. People think, "Well, I don't need the pastor." Well, guess what? I will be the best man at the wedding that will walk you down the aisle and to present you highest praise as a chaste virgin unto Christ. When the church becomes married to the government authority and elevated to the place of acceptance, it declines in spiritual blessing and power. Amen. You'll find in that day when Constantine declared Christianity to be the official religion, people started joining the church that didn't have a true relationship with God. They came in and saw the gifts of the Spirit in operation. They got offended over distasteful tongue speaking and the operation of spiritual gifts, and the true church had to go underground. My God, have mercy. I got to tell you, that's why you should never despise prophesying. You should never despise someone in your church that speaks under divine inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It should. The Bible says, don't frown on anybody that is enthusiastic about the operation of spiritual gifts in the church. Amen. Because when you do, you're quenching the Spirit and you're putting out the fire of the Holy Ghost in the life of the church. Amen. Pergamos, amen, was a capital city of Asia Minor to the close of the first century, located 20 miles from the Mediterranean Sea on the western side. Wealthy city given over to idol worship, full of statues, altars, and sacred groves. Don't think it strange, friend. You've got them here in America. Amen. The city was given over to many Greek idols. And what we need to understand, behind every idol stands a demon. Go to Corinthians. Before Corinth came to know the Lord, they worshiped dumb idols. They had frenzies of enthusiasm. They had prophetic utterance. And they fell out, shaken and convulsing under a demonic power as they worshiped dumb idols. And Paul had to tell them, "Buddy, this ain't no demon you're dealing with now that you come in the church. This is the Holy Ghost. You're dancing, but you're dancing with a different partner." Amen. Dear God, can I say this? Let the Holy Ghost be the Holy Ghost in the life of the church. There were two prominent deities in this city, Bacchus, which was the god of revelry or the god of wine. That's what Paul meant when he says, "Be not drunk with wine, where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And there was another worship of a god of Asclepius, which was the god of healing. And people came from all over the world to find healing for their bodies. Very famous for paper and parchments. There were four cults in this city: Zeus, Athenia, Dionysius, and Asclepius, the god of healing, whose insignia was an entwined serpent on a pole or a staff. and it was a medical symbol today, and Satan was symbolized as a serpent on a pole. Kind of reminds you of the brazen serpent on a pole. Amen. This church here, amen. I've said this a while back, and I want you to hear me. We're so busy building our image that we're not protecting our character. If God's building your character, He'll protect your image. If it's of God, it don't need protecting. But if it's not of God, it ain't got a right to live in the life of the church. Amen. I tell you what scared me. For 1,400 years during this era, the message of the soon imminent return of Christ was no longer preached. I can't imagine going a month and not hearing about the soon imminent return of Jesus Christ. Amen. The church era for the first three centuries was tied to it, this doctrine. Let me say this, nothing is going to make you live any more holier, many more in revival, than to know that any moment Jesus Christ could return again. Amen. I tell you what it did. It produced an evangelistic, consecrated, fervent church when it was preached. I think John said it like this, "He that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as Christ is pure. Therefore sanctification in a man's life is a sign whether or not he's looking for the Lord to come." When the church became rich and powerful, amen, it was suggested that things were getting better and better and Christ's kingdom was already ushered in and that he would come at the end of the 1,000-year reign. But everything changed when Christianity became a state religion. Amen. It was not until 1,400 years later, amen, when it began to be preached again. With it came evangelistic fervor. Whenever a local church or a denomination maintains a strong emphasis on the rapture of the church, amen, it maintains an evangelistic missionary thrust that goes out to the rest of the world. Can I tell you something? When the early church greeted one another, they said, "Maranatha, our Lord cometh." My God, Gibbon the historian did a survey who lived in the 3rd century, what made the early church grow. He found out that there was a movement of God's power in the church that kept it alive, that made it a place for desperate people to come to receive a miracle from God. They were tore up about Christ. The talk of the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, soon return of Christ dominated their conversation everywhere they went. Gibbon the historian was living in the 3rd century in the throes of Roman Catholicism. He saw that the church had moved away from its central vision. And he's asking, how do we get back to the original vision of the 1st century church? My God, can I tell you something? That when they preached it, there was fervency in the house. There was a passion for Jesus in the house. There was an alarm going off. They believed that any moment Jesus could return again. I'm going to tell you, you are the generation that's going to live to see Jesus coming again in the clouds of glory. I believe that. I don't want the church getting cold. I don't want the church getting indifferent. And I don't want the church getting worldly. Worldliness is not a place on the map. It's an attitude of your heart. Worldliness is anything that curbs your appetite for the spiritual things of God. And I'm going to tell you one thing. If we don't keep the soon imminent return of Christ before our view, it's going to become that much more easier to miss church. Your prayer rooms will become neglected. Hello, somebody. You know what I'm talking about. And you'll succumb to the pressures of the world. And you'll say, if I can't beat them, I'll join them. Cold, indifferent, worldly. That's what happens when the rapture is no longer discussed. But don't think it strange. 65% of your church world don't believe there's going to be one. I got news for them. When Gabriel toots, I'm scooting. Constantine was very much attracted to Christianity. Alleged that he saw a fiery cross and heard a voice saying, "If this in this conquer." He believed this to be a message from God. If he would embrace the Christian religion, he would conquer his enemies. I think Constantine conquered all his known world. sat down and wept because there was no known world left to conquer. But I heard he murdered his own brother because he couldn't control his temper. He accepted the Christian faith and declared himself to be a defender and a protector of the faith. His life indicated that he had a poor concept of Christianity, that he never had been born again by the Spirit of God, and he had Eusebius, Bishop of Rome, to make 50 copies of the Holy Scriptures that were used by the churches. When he became Emperor of Rome, he became Emperor of the rest Western world and protector of the Christian faith. He issued the Edict of Toleration for the Christian faith, showed many favors to the Christian church. Government monies provided for the operation of the church. We must be careful. If the government starts putting their money in our churches, they'll dictate to our churches what's to be preached. I'm not married to the government of Rome. I'm married to Jesus Christ. And when the rapture takes place, I'm going to a 7-year honeymoon. And I'm going to the wedding. How about you? And I got the Arabon, the engagement ring on my hand called the Holy Ghost that tells me I'm going. Praise God forevermore. I read where many temples were taken over by Christians. And here comes this flood tide into the church. Everybody's joining the church because it's a thing to do. But they see God's power at work and they're offended. And Christ said, blessed is he. It's not offended in me. One compromise led to the other. Amen. I think we need to watch what customs we adopt. Because one church uptown's doing it don't mean we have to do it. Come on now. And during 3 centuries of this period, many anti-Christian practices of pagan origin were adopted, which robbed the church of its fire and its evangelistic fervor. There's reasons why the church has lost the fire. Say what you will. And I'm not trying to sound ugly up here tonight, but I'm telling you what, we're too carnal to be filled with the Spirit. Too carnal to go after the Holy Ghost. Come on now. Oh my God. You see, you think because you're big numbers, you got status. What good is your big numbers if you don't have quality? If the fire of the Lord don't fall in the house. Can I say something and get it off my spirit? There's too many in this church that are offended over Pentecost. If I want to lose you, just preach on it. Well, get used to it, sweets. Because I believe in Pentecost. And for years, we've tried to separate Christianity from Pentecost. And you know what we found out? Pentecost is Christianity, and real Christianity is Pentecost. So you can't separate the two. Somebody praise God. Why don't you go ahead and cut Jesus out of your Bible? He's Pentecostal. He flowed in the gifts on every page of the gospel. Full of the Holy Ghost. Cast out devils. Healed the sick. My God, and they're making, and you know what set him apart from the nominal religion of his day? The power of the Holy Ghost in his life. I know I'm different. I know when God made me, he broke the mold. But I'm going to tell you, I want the fullness of the Holy Ghost back in the life of the church. And a lot of things won't hang around when the fire comes. Come on, that we need to get rid of so we can maintain a flame in the earth. Can I get a witness in this place? Amen. The influence of paganism got stronger and stronger in the church. The church learned that they could not take the methods of the world and tweak them and turn them into something spiritual. The church shrouded itself in ritualism and Babylonian mysticism. Amen. The Chaldean Tau, which was a pole with a cross on top of it. Change to the sign of the cross. Rosary, you hear a lot about this in Roman Catholicism, became a pagan origin, and there was celibacy among the priests and the nuns. When I worked at Harris Teeter as a bag boy when I was 16, Sacred Heart Catholic College was nearby, and many of the nuns were wearing their dresses to hide their pregnancies by many of the priests that served in the colleges. Say what you will. I'm telling you what. I tell you what, when I see this and I see what's going on, I understand why we're losing the fire of the Holy Ghost. The church has got so worldly and the world so churchy, nobody knows the difference anymore. We think that's just a thing. Let me tell you what, folks, I believe in holiness. It ain't popular here, but it's popular where I'm going. My God, and holiness become at thy house, O Lord, forever. Amen. As I research this, God have mercy. Let me give you some of the practices, and you probably heard of many of them, that came into the church during this era. There was prayer for the dead. There was some dumb priest that thought that once you died, they could pray after you had done crossed over and keep you in purgatory. The sign of the cross. I'm not wearing a crucifix because he ain't on a cross. He only borrowed it for 6 hours. Oh, my God. Worship of saints and angels. Mass was instituted. I can't find nowhere in my Bible that I'm to go up to a funny-looking man in a white dress and confess my sins. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Jesus Christ. Worship of Mary got introduced. The Roman Catholic Church right now is trying to find a way to make Mary the fourth member of the Godhead. Right now. And if she was God, she had no business being in the upper room. But she was there in the upper room to receive the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost and became a member of the church at Ephesus with John as the pastor. Amen. Priests dressing differently than laity. Elevating the priest above the people. Amen. Purgatory. That you don't go to heaven or hell, you go to a holding place. I wouldn't risk it. When the rich man died in hell, he lifted up his eyes, not purgatory. And that was not a parable. Jesus said there was a man in a city that was rich, that when he died in hell, he lifted up his eyes. That is not a parable. It's an actual event. Amen. Worship service is conducted in Latin. Amen. Prayers directed to, I don't pray to Mary. I pray to the Father. In the name of the Son, through and by the power of the Holy Ghost, I do not pray to Mary. Amen. Here the Lord says, I got a sharp two-edged sword with two edges. Amen. The cure for the protection of any church is the Word of God. If we would have heeded the Word of God and stayed with the truth of the Word, we could have avoided the dark ages. From Malachi to Matthew, the 400 years. They call it the intertestamental period. That's where you got seven other books in the Catholic Bible. They come from the intertestamental period. They did not meet the test of divine inspiration or divine truth. Amen. It's the Word of God. Christ uses the Word to sanctify the church. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. He uses the Word of God to clean the church. Now you're clean through the Word, which I have spoken unto you. The Word brings joy to the heart and life of the believer. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. It brings peace. And I'm going to tell you what, I believe dark times are here and dark times are coming. But if we'll stick by the book and we'll hold on to the Word, God will see us through. Give Him praise in the house. Hallelujah. I tell you one thing. God doesn't condemn me, but He does convict me. Some of you know that need to know the difference. People say, I'm tired of going to church feeling beat up. I'm not beating you up. The Word of God, if you're in sin, there is condemnation for the sinner, and there's conviction for the child of God. And I'd rather have my eyeballs punched out, be paralyzed on my neck down the bottom of my feet, than for God's Word not to be convicting me when I need to be convicted. I'll tell you what He'll do. He'll convict you. And if you shun it, it'll deafen you. It'll harden you. Yes, it will. Amen. The sword was a symbol of Roman proconsul. More important to fear Christ's sword than the sword of Caesar. Many of the saints wouldn't drop their incense on the altar and say, Hail to Caesar. But you can't call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. But if you're calling Jesus Lord, that was actually a penalty of that led to execution. Amen. That's what got Antipas in trouble. That's what got John on the Isle of Patmos. He would not bow to Caesar. Can I tell you what? There's only one king. There's only one Savior. There's only one Lord. And his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. That sword that was used, amen, at salvation can loosen the chains of sin and condemnation which binds the helpless sinner. But it can become an instrument of death if Christ's sword is used on you. I'll tell you one thing, I feel this, and judgment must first begin at the house of God, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? I believe Christ is moving in slow motion with his feet bathed in frankincense, hoping, giving us time to hear God's voice, make the changes before judgment hits. But I'm telling you what I feel in my spirit. I believe as I research the Word of God, the Lord is going to put his sword back in this church one more time. I'm telling you what, Jeremiah said there'll come a time hypocrites will be afraid to go in the house of God. And I tell you what, if God sees a cancer in highest praise, if God sees a sin in highest praise that's killing our future, God, cut it out. My God, do open heart surgery on us, but don't let us lose our distinctives as being your church. Somebody needs to praise God in this house. I'm sorry. I've cut my teeth on the fire. Filled with the Holy Ghost when I was 12 years old. I ain't got no intentions of losing it now for any of you. I believe in the fire of the Holy Ghost. And I tell you, I feel grieved in the Holy Ghost when we get so carnal around here and so worldly that the fire can't fall in our midst. It grieves my heart. It breaks my heart. I grew up in this. I know what it is. Now you got a new generation coming along trying to tell me it ain't necessary. When was it not necessary? My God, when did it ever go out of date? When did it ever go out of style? I still need the fire of the Lord to fall in the house of God today. Hallelujah. I know thy works, Satan's throne, where Satan dwells, right smack dab in the church. You know what's amazing? For years, Babylon was the center of his headquarters. That's where Nimrod was and his mother under satanic influence, who started a one-world religion to build a tower up to heaven to make a name for themselves. There's a difference in Pentecost and Babel. Amen. Idolatry got started in this very area. Babylon is the mother of all false religion. All of it began here. But the moment Babylon lost its glory, Satan changed headquarters. You know where he moved it? Pergamos. Right smack dab in the middle of the church. Now tell me how that happens. When we believe he's Lord, Jesus Lord, how can Satan just walk in the house and set up his throne? Where he dwells, where he sits. This is not some location of the world. This is right smack dab in the assembly of Pergamos. My God, have mercy. I'll tell you what, you know why the devil liked it? Because of its strong idolatrous implications. America has worship wars going on. We got idol gods everywhere. And behind it stands a demon entity. And I'm going to tell you what, behind the worship of God stands the Holy Ghost, the power and presence of God. Missionaries have gone over into this location and said the whole area is charged with demonic power by the very power of Satan that's going on in this area. God help us. I don't want to get so worldly that Satan can just walk right in here and join the church. Obtain a following, change everything we do, and not even God comes to meet with us again. Satan is enthroned, it's his house, reigns in the power of religious devotion by the power of Caesar's sword. He's right smack dab in the middle of Pergamus. From Pergamus, from where Satan directed the affairs of a worldwide kingdom. He perverts the souls of men. That kingdom is being revived. It's coming back. It's the revised Roman Empire. Satan learned that during the first three centuries, attacking the Christians could not conquer them. Now he's using indulgence, elevation. Just give the church a big name. Give them a big location. And they'll defeat themselves. You know what scares me, Evelyn? This ain't about souls anymore. It's about keeping the saints happy. We have totally moved away. I weep for some of you people. You don't know how far off you are. I weep. I'm dealing with the basics here. I'm dealing with really what's going on in the church. When it ain't about souls and a love for the lost and the gospel of Jesus Christ, when it ain't about prayer, it's about your own agendas. And we're moving away. Christ would have turned your tables over if he'd have come in here and seen that. I want to get back to what made the church the church. I want to get back to what made us strong again. And I guarantee you this, it wasn't your programs. Amen. Lord, have mercy. He said, I know where you live. They profess the name of Jesus Christ in the very city where Satan is enthroned. Amen. The confession that Jesus is Lord. They refused to drop that incense. And the penalty was execution. If you couldn't make it. Amen. The move to declare that Caesar is Lord. Here he is. There's a commitment to his name. There's loyalty to the faith. An organized church did not teach anything. Here's what bothers me. For over 1,000 years, nothing about the deity of Christ was even taught on. And you know what's amazing? Every occult and every cult have one thing in common. They all attack the deity of Christ. I told you the other Sunday, I'm going to tell you again. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you can't be saved. These things were written that you might believe that he is the Son of God, that by believing you may have eternal life through his name. Because we're no different than the Jehovah's Witnesses. That believe that Christ is the greatest of all created beings, but he's not equal with the Father. This gave birth to all kinds of things, and many people gave lip service to the deity of Christ. I can't imagine going 1,000 years in the church, and we're not talking about Jesus being God. Wow. Hast not devoured the faith. Antipas, which means against all. He may have stood alone against the forces of evil. He was a faithful unto death. And he was a local Christian in the city of Pergamus who, like many during the first century, sealed his testimony with his own blood. The church at Pergamus will feel the sword of Christ. He which hath the sharp sword with two edges. Tell you one thing. I think there's a lot of things in the church that's getting ready to feel the sword of Christ. And I'm scared because with the world coming in, there goes our discernment. Let me say this. You are more safer staying in church, under the gospel, hearing the songs, singing, worshiping God, fellowshipping with the saints, having mentors that live right, that can speak into your life, than you floating in and out and thinking the end you're going to make it. I really believe that. You got the Council of Nicaea. That believe that Jesus Christ was the very God. How many believe he's more than a carpenter? He's more than a prophet. He's more than a teacher. He's the Son of the living God. If you don't believe that, you got problems. Amen. Tell me why every occult and occult all attack him at this area. My God, I believe he is everything he ever said, and the resurrection put the seal on the whole thing. Praise God forevermore. God and man in one person. Move on here for a moment. 3 centuries that followed, you got increased corruption came in the church. There was a departure from biblical doctrine. What's doctrine? I had some loose-lipped guy tell me the other day, we don't preach doctrine at our church. I don't want to come to your church. Doctrine is the wholesome teaching of the Word of God. And if you depart from the doctrine of Christ, you leave Christ. Amen. I'll tell you what happened. They combined Christian theology with pagan philosophy. Go research your Old Testament. Israel never did totally forsake the worship of God. They took a little bit of this religion, combined it with a little bit of that religion, and came up with their own religion. They combined it, and that's where the devil gets a foothold in the church. Line upon line, precept upon precept. He just slips it in. He gives you a little bit of truth and a little bit of error. And you know what? Don't put so much stock in me that you can't study behind me to make sure I'm not telling you the truth. Don't take everything a teacher says at face value. If it don't line up with the word, shuck it and disregard it. Amen. Can I get a witness in this place? I tell you what, with them not preaching the rapture, they soon lost their earthly hope. Biblical simplicity was replaced with church organization. You know what bothers me in the church? We're spending more time discussing church organization than we are the Great Commission. We're top heavy. And if I'm going to be great in the kingdom, I got to be the servant of all. Human creeds, the worship of Mary has taken the place of biblical simplicity. God, have mercy. How could this be just to please the government? It became popular to be a Christian. You know what? Everybody's talking about this big revival going on in the United States. I got one problem with it. People's morality is not changing. I got a problem with it. The devil knows how to appeal to your emotion. But you can get emotional without submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Oh my God, have mercy. He knows how to move you. There are certain music that you can listen to that'll make you violent. And there's certain music you can listen to that'll make you broken before God. Come on now, Lord, have mercy. It's becoming so difficult to maintain this distinction between the church and the world. That's causing us not to persevere in biblical doctrine. We have an identity crisis. We don't know who we are. And the world's coming in, and we're calling it revival. But the problem is, it's not the world that's changing. They're expecting us to change. Brainwashing is going on. I want to tell you something, baby. I still believe in the old rugged cross. I still believe in the blood. I still believe in the word. I still believe in the Holy Ghost. And these are non-negotiables. In the life of it, you cannot be a church without the presence of the Holy Ghost. My God, have mercy. They held to the doctrine of Balaam. Watch out for these guys that prophesy for reward. Material gain. Balak, king of Moab, which is a sworn descendant of Lot, enemies of God's people, tries to get Balaam to curse Israel, and he's a prophet, and every time he opens his mouth, blessings come out. Dear God, there is a spirit of Balaam, and it's called prophet for hire. Rent a prophet. I think the Bible said in Jeremiah there were pillar prophets. Women would actually sew cushions on the elbows of chairs, and Jeremiah was prophesying judgment. They were prophesying peace and prosperity. You don't need to repent. You're going to be around a long time. Judgment was standing at the door. My God, have mercy. They were called pillar prophets. Amen. People that prophesy for this. If I call people out and gave them a false word, you'll fill my pockets with money. Some of the largest offerings at Mebane we ever got is when I brought a prophet in that called people out and started speaking words over them, and their wallets opened up. God, Every time Balaam opened his mouth to curse Israel, a blessing came out. And you know what he finally realized? If you can't beat him, join him. Amen. How? If he want the judgment of God to fall, teach them to transgress, to eat things offered to idols, and commit fornication, wrong relationship. And 24,000 people died because they compromised. When you think, when you get outside these walls, it's okay because none of us are around. Why are Christians cussing? Talk to me here now. Well, they're not Christians, number one. Hey, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that's as good a use of edifying. We get out there, oh, we're not in church right now, so really it don't matter. You're wrong, honey. Everything I do outside the walls, my leisure time, my private time, lead up to my worship when I get here. If that ain't right, my worship ain't going to be right. Preach on, I'm going to. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. And I tell you what happens, it leads people to become polluted spiritually and socially. There's got to be a distinction in the church. There's got to be a distinction in the church. There's got to be, and I'm going to tell you, there's some people, I'm all over them. And they get around me, they won't talk to me. They won't speak to me. Love you. Hope you make it. You got to love me to get to heaven. I'm telling you. I'm telling them, you got to choose. You can't serve God and mammon. You got to make a choice. Either he's everything or he's nothing at all. Come on now. I'm telling you, what's happening is there's no difference between the holy from the profane and the clean from the unclean. And they're coming into our churches. I don't have to be born again. I don't have to be filled with the Spirit. I don't have to speak with tongues. And what you've got is a mess. Because human nature, apart from the Holy Spirit's chaos. And at your best, all you're going to get is the works of the flesh. Here's the thing. They thought they could fellowship at the table of the devils. And then come into church and fellowship at the table of the Lord. They thought they could drink from the cup of the devils. And they come in the house and drink from the cup of the Lord. And Paul said, you can't do that. Can I go one step further? Fornication will cut you off from Christ. And don't tell me everybody's doing it. Hello? The bed's only undefiled through marriage. Sex is God's idea, but it works best in the marital relationship. Amen. And what you got is coming into church. If it feels good, do it. And all you've got's one big pile of mess that the Holy Ghost says, this offends me. You're my house, you're my temple, you're doing things that I don't like, and it's grieving me, and I can't bless that. The Holy Ghost said it. I'm going to tell you a word. This is the word from the Lord to this church. Either we're going to do it God's way, or we ain't going to do it no way at all. Amen. If God ain't, if the Lord don't build the house, they labor in vain to build it. And if he don't keep the city, the watchman watcheth in vain. Oh, Lord, tell me something. Amen. Israel began to intermarry with the Moabites, sworn enemies of God's people. What are we doing being unequally yoked with unbelievers? And all of a sudden, there's a scripture in the Old Testament that the language of Ashdod, the language of Judah became lost because they intermarried with Ashdod and Moab. It took one generation for the language of Judah to become lost. Mike, here's my cry. It's not the fact the devil's taking these things from us, we are giving them up. If I become unequally yoked with someone outside my faith, everything I have received to this point, they'll change me. Had a lot of good-looking women in my home church, came to church, married, but their husbands were at home with a beer in their hand, would not come to church. Couldn't tell them, didn't want to hear it. Hello, somebody. Be not unequally yoked. There are some things I can't do out there and come in here and get kingdom stuff to work. I can't. I'm sorry. I don't follow fads. I don't chase crowds. Amen. I like my private time. I really do. But I'm telling you what, we need discernment. What are you doing marrying an enemy of God? What's Tobiah the Ammonite doing in the chamber of the house of God that keeps the tithe and the incense? Nehemiah's a layman. He's God's A-team. He throws him out of the chamber. He infumigates the place and puts the tithe and the incense. But don't share a house with Tobiah the Ammonite. Don't do it. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Jewish men fell right into the trap. They ate foods that were sacrificed to altars, committed fornication as part of heathen religious rites. And you can read it for yourself that all those that died as an act of compromise. Compromise will kill us. When I got a choice whether or not I'm going to go to church, instead of going to a party, I'm going to church and have a party. Come on now. I didn't tell my dad I wasn't going to church. He said, I'll show you. I didn't. When I got full of the Holy Ghost at 12, I wanted to go to church. Couldn't get enough of it. Sat right where she sat and was my pastor's amen corner. Really believe that. Compromise will kill us. Like all religions bowing at the same altar. We cannot do that. I cannot worship with Muslims because I don't recognize Allah. Amen. Somebody praise God in the house. We got heathens out here. Devils out here. My God, that want to sacrifice our children on the altars of their lust. The Lord accused the Christians of committing spiritual fornication. When they would say Caesar is Lord, it made them welcomed by the Romans and it made them protected from the Roman persecution. But it cost them their testimony and their crown. My God, have mercy. What would you do if somebody walked in here with an M16 clearance and pointed and said, either you're going to worship God or you're going to worship Caesar, but if you didn't bow to Caesar, they're going to blow your brains out. I don't want to sacrifice my crown, and I don't want to sacrifice my testimony. So, would somebody praise God in this room? I don't want to let no man take your crown. Don't you do it. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. They're coming into our churches. If I make any reference towards certain things, they're going to try to nail me as hate talk. Amen. Dear God, have mercy. I still worship Jesus. Magnify his name. Compromise. Compromise. I do. I'm not a prophet for hire. I will not prophesy for your money. Preach on. That's the spirit of Balaam. While back, the Holy Ghost spoke to me, there's three different spirits at work in the church. There is the spirit of Cain that killed his brother Abel, the spirit of Balaam that led to a spirit of compromise, and the spirit of Korah that had Moses replace as pastor over the wilderness flock. These three spirits are at work today in today's church. Amen. I just had a pastor come to me the other day. At his church, his youth minister became homosexual, sent out pictures of himself. He had to deal with him by law. And the church turned on the pastor instead of making the man accountable for his sin. He says, what do I do? I said, hold your guns. I said, I want to tell you as a fellow pastor, I'm proud to call you friend. And I'll hold you up in prayer and believe that God's going to bless you for taking the right stand. Can I get a witness in this place? Hallelujah. Somebody praise him in the house. Hallelujah. My God, there is a spirit of tolerance that's causing us to become laxed. You know, I came out of legalism in the earlier days. I've heard it. I've heard people blast the church of God because they sent their children to Carowinds. And I've heard all this mess. I can't find no Bible for it, but I heard it. But can I tell you something, friend? You can live a Christian life and be happy and serve God with gladness. And don't let the devil put his shackles on you. My God, and go to Carowinds and enjoy yourself. Amen? But I've seen a lot of people go to movies. that they had no business seeing and lose their testimony and their influence. Can I get a witness in this place? I heard the other day that they said that due to Christians coming into areas for conventions, that the porn industry gets more business with Christians coming to town than the world put together. Compromise. 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 Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship with this world is enmity with God? And whoever will be a friend of this world is an enemy of God. Amen. This is typical of Pergamos, faithful to Christ's name, held to the faith, but did not remain separated from the world. That word separated means nowhere to draw the line. Come out from among them. Be separate. Because the church became infiltrated with paganism. Oh, my. Ouija boards is a thing now you can purchase at stores. And they could go on there and ask questions, and demon spirits will move that board to give them satanic suggestions. It's not of God. Amen. Hello, it's not of God. I don't consult the familiar about my future. I consult the living God about my future. Amen? And I'll tell you one thing, people, when you research this, when the priests, amen, began to elevate themselves with the Nicolaitans, that we had to blindly follow the decrees of the clergy. No, you wouldn't blindly do it. If I'm not talking word, don't follow me. But if I'm under the word, you're obligated. Follow me as I follow Christ. I quit following him, you quit following me. Amen. But they became separated more and more from the people. And Christ said he hated this doctrine. I'm like Rod Parsley. I smell like my sheep. Pharisees were out of touch with the common man of the day. But Christ went down in their midst and healed them. God, have mercy. Let me say this. There's a lot of voices coming to the church today. How many of you heard this? Well, what he preached really was not necessary. My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. My God, we must be careful what voice we are following. And he says, repent. A very quality of holy living. Let me tell you, friend, I still repent. It's a part of my everyday devotional life. I repent. That means turn about face, go the other direction. Turn around, change your heart, mind, and will. Have a sorrow and regret, sin's been committed. Amen. Renounce sin. Don't tell God you're sorry and keep doing it. Repent, renounce it. Dedicate yourself to obedience to Christ. Or else I'll come upon thee quickly and I will fight against you with the sword of my mouth. My God, he told Israel, if you don't repent and come to believe in who I am, you're going to die in your sins. But if you don't repent, you're all going to likewise perish. I would rather have a repentant spirit and have revival than harden up and face his judgment. Seriously. Amen. Oh, Lord, God's going to fight offenders in the church, enemies of the cross of Christ, with the same judgment that Christ will use to smite rebellious nations. Jesus has a sword, and he will use it. And I'm telling you one thing, I don't want him using his sword on his church. I don't, but we got to be his church. Somebody say, I'm not the mayor's church. I'm not the governor. I'm Christ's church. I really... And then here we have a promise to the overcomer, and I'm going to close, a symbol of spiritual nurture. The manna that was hid in the Ark of the Covenant, hid from the world's view, and it never spoiled because it stood in the presence of God. Amen. They're blind to its availability and character. It's given to those only in covenant relationship. It is on the Lord's table, and the church is dependent on God for their spiritual supply. He's giving us today our daily bread. Yes, he is. How many's eating good? How many's eating good? Lord, have mercy. Amen. Hidden manna, spiritual food. You know when that manna fell in the wilderness? They looked at it and they said, manna. In the Hebrew, it means, what is it? That's the same way the Jews looked at Christ. What manner of man is this? Manna. What is it? Amen. For those in Christ, there's a hidden manna, spiritual food of the saints, spiritual strength afforded by the experience. The problem is, will you go out and gather it, or will you throw up your nose and walk on top of it? My God, the church should be feasting on God's word. They tell me you are what you eat. Boy, what y'all eating? Well, you are what you eat. I can tell this by the way you worship. You are what you eat. God's throne, we know this, that Satan's throne was withheld with authority at Pergamos. The Ark of the Covenant was God's throne. But right smack dab in the church, Satan's seat became. White stone with a name written on it. White in the Bible stands for righteousness of God, purity, victory. The kingdom of God, God's established inheritance. The white stone stood for acquittal. In crimes where a man was acquitted by the jury, they threw out a white stone. Can I tell you what? I was guilty in sin, and Christ threw out a white stone with my name on it and acquitted me of all my guilt and all my transgression. Amen. We have received a white stone of acquittal, which stands for the eternal acquittal we gain through faith in Jesus Christ. How many's been acquitted? How many's been acquitted in this house? My God, judgment should have fell, but He pardoned you. He acquitted you and put you in the position of one that never broke the law. My God, Pergamos is a church that paralyzes, that speaks of false growth in the kingdom. I see growth, but is it real growth? I want to get excited, but let's see how long they pan out. You know, nothing's wrong anymore. But I've learned I can't have revival unless I want to admit something's wrong. There are some things that are just wrong, and you can't go out and parlay with it. You got to stand up and say, I can't do this. I can't do this. Go get in a car with somebody and they're drinking. I don't want to be associated with that. I don't want to walk in the counsel of the ungodly or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful. My delight's the law of the Lord. In that law, I want to meditate both day and night. I don't want to compromise. Every fad has come through, and they're still coming through. But I'd rather walk the straight and narrow path. Straight is the way. Narrow is the gate that leads unto life, and few that be that find it. But broad is the way, and wide is the gate leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. I want to enter into the straight and narrow. My God, how mercy. Be careful who you listen to. Careful who you let speak into your life. Careful. If they're not under the word of a pastor, leave them alone. Come on now. You know what scares me? If we don't worship God, we're going to worship ourselves. But that's bad when yourself becomes a God. Men shall become lovers of their own selves. Satan walks into the house, sets up his throne. Got an idol here and an idol there. My kinfolks attended the Jamboree place of Brother LaHon out in California. His church was right next door to Anton LaBey's satanic headquarters, and there was every idol god you could think of, and there were times LaHon would preach and would almost suffocate under demonic power. Can I tell you something, folks? We need to stand up and say, we want the fire of the Lord to fall on our church again. I want to see the fire of the Holy Ghost fall on our young people. But could it be the reason why we're not filled with the Spirit, we're not born again? too carnal to get the Holy Ghost. I don't want to be a part of a church where the fire of the Holy Ghost can't fall. Brother Miller, that's strong. No, that's just my feeling. I know we're in a Laodicean church age, men neither cold nor hot but lukewarm, but I want to be in a church that the fire of God can fall, business can be suspended. Dear God, altars are filled with people. Sinners will run to the altar and be saved. Backsliders restored. Men and women receiving the Holy Ghost. If the Lord is the head of this thing, if Jesus, my God, somebody raise up your hand. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost fall in your church again. Oh God, have mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The fire, when's the last time the fire fell on you? When's the last time the fire fell on you? My God, let the fire, somebody say it, let the fire of the Lord fall on me. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Oh, let the fire of the Holy Ghost fall in the church. Again, burn up the worldliness, burn up the carnality, burn up the dross. But don't let me lose the distinctiveness of being the church. My God, have mercy. Y'all want to be the church? Y'all want to be the church? I'm talking to you. Do you want to be the church? Amen. Do you want to be the church? Sanctified, blood-bought, spirit-filled, name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I won't. The fire of the Holy Ghost to fall in the church again. Amen. I want the Holy Ghost to fall in the church again. If we got to remove some things, we remove some things. But I want the fire of the Holy Ghost to fall in the church again. My God, somebody, let the church be the church and let the people rejoice. My God, have mercy. Hallelujah. I want three people to stand, four, that'll shout it from the rooftop. Let the fire of the Lord fall. What'd you say? What did you say? Oh my God, have mercy. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost, let the God that answers by fire, let him be God. My God, have mercy. I want the fire of the Lord to fall. Tell me why you want the fire to fall. Tell me, dear, why do you want the fire to fall? Tell me, Aaron, why do you want the fire to fall? Larry, why do you want the fire to fall? My God, have mercy. There might be some that may not like that. I'm sorry. This is who we are. We're Pentecostal. We want the fire of the Holy Ghost to fall. My God, come on now, neighbor. We need a Moses to turn aside and see this thing the Lord is doing. You hear me, and I'm going to close it. But if we'll get back to heeding the Word of God, we won't move back in the dark ages again as a church. If we'll get back to listening what God says, we won't fall back in the dark ages. Somebody shouted, I'm not going back. Not going back. Let the fire of the Lord fall. Whoa, let the fire of the Lord fall in the church today, I tell you. Tell me why Elijah didn't have to pray but 63 words and the fire fell because he prayed through down by the brook. When you pray through, you ain't got to pray long to get a hold of God for the needs of your life. You let the fire of the Lord fall. Your kids need to see it. This pastor needs to see it again. My God, oh, search me and know me. Try my ways and see if there be any wicked way in me. If there is, cleanse me from it. Let the fire of the Lord fall. Somebody shout it. Let the fire of the Lord fall. Let the fire of the Lord fall. Sing it, Becky. Come on.
I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
Oh, yes.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. No place I would rather be.
My Lord Jesus.
No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be.
Move, Holy Ghost.
No place I would rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my
Holy
soul
Ghost.
That I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
Oh, yes.
No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be. Hearing your love, hearing your love. No place I would rather be.
Oh, yeah.
No place I would rather be. No place I would rather be than hearing your love, hearing your love.
I want to pray for somebody, and amen. I'm sorry, I'm not in a drive-through worship tonight. But if you want the fire of the Lord to fall on you, and you want the Spirit of the Lord to touch you, I want you to come here. We're going to pray for you. Come on, Dean. Come on, elders. Come on. If you want the Holy Ghost to touch you, my God, I need to pray in the Holy Ghost to keep me falling back into sin. I need to do that. My God, have mercy. Come on. I want the Holy Ghost. You know what? That can be da-da-da-da-da-ya. Oh!
Set a fire down in my soul
on the altar of your heart. Burn, Holy Ghost.
I want more
in the name of Jesus.
I want more
my God.
God.
Baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. My God, grant it.
I want more of you, God.
My God, I want the fire. I want the fire.
No place I would rather
of the
be.
Holy Ghost.
No place I would rather
my God,
be.
In the name of Jesus.
No place I would rather
oh,
be.
God.
Your
in the
love,
name of Jesus.
Your love. No place I would rather
oh.
Be. No place
may the fire
be.
Of the Holy Ghost.
No place I would rather be. Hearing your love.
Open up yourself to him, Leroy.
Set a fire
my God.
In my soul that I can't control.
My God, in the name of Jesus. Come here, Chris.
I want more of you, God.
Can I tell you something, sis? God's getting me to touch you.
Set
I mean, right here, right now. Fire in the name of the Lord, I pray. May the fire of the Holy Ghost. My God, the promise of the Holy Ghost. Is
no
unto you, unto your children,
be.
And all that
no
are far
place
off.
I would rather be.
Even
no
as many Lord our God shall call. Fire.
Your love,
fire
your love. No
of the Holy
I
Ghost.
Would no place I would rather be.
My
no
God.
Place I would rather be.
In the name of Jesus.
Hearing your love, hearing
God, I want
love.
You to set my sister
set
on fire. She burns under the power of the Holy Ghost. My God, to the seal of your house, eat her up. in the name of Jesus, may the fire of the Holy Ghost so move on her.
I want more of you, God.
Oh, yes. In the name of Jesus. Tell him, God, set me on fire. Set me on fire with the Holy Ghost. Breathe on me. Hallelujah. My God, in the name of Jesus. May the fire of the Lord fall. May the fire of the Lord fall. May the fire of the Lord fall.
I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God.
God is lighting a fire in the altar of your heart. My God, it's getting bigger and bigger and stronger and stronger. The seal of his house is going to eat you up. In the name of Jesus. Set her on fire. I want you to pray one for another. Lay your hands on somebody. Lay your hands on them. Pray for the fire to fall. My God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Set me on fire. Set me on fire. Set religion on fire. My God, set me on fire. Deliver from discouragement. Defeated living. Let the world take note of the fire of the Holy Ghost. God, I sense the Lord in this place. In the name of Jesus. Don't let there be anything that keeps the fire of the Holy Ghost from falling in the life of the church. My God, don't let there be anything that keeps the fire of the Holy Ghost. My God, for falling in the life of the church. Hallelujah. You know what? I believe that the Lord wants to mark you with the fire of his presence. You and Leroy both. My God, I'm believing God that the winds of God are blowing on the embers of your soul. That a fire is being kindled. My God. And the devil's doing his best to snuff it out. But it keeps burning. It keeps burning. It keeps burning. It keeps burning. My God, in the name of Jesus, fire shut up in the bones. The fire of his presence. The fire of his approval. Our fathers had that. Our young people need this. Our adults need this. Fire. Fall in the church. Hallelujah. I want to get somebody to change the sign out front that the fire of the Lord still falls in highest praise. The fire of the Lord still falls in highest praise. Amen. When's the last time it fell on you? My God, have mercy. How many want this to be about souls again? How many want to be about the Father's love for the lost of our generation? My God, the truth of His Word. Hallelujah. My God, in the name of Jesus. Brethren, I want y'all to lay your hands on me. I want to be a flame thrower in this church. I want to be a flame thrower. I want the fire of the Holy Ghost in this church. My God, I want it. I want it. More than I want the breath that I breathe. Hallelujah. In the fire of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. My God, let it burn, melt the coldest heart in the sanctuary. My God, may the fire of the Holy Ghost. My God. Burn, set me on fire. Fire of the Holy Ghost. My God, in the name of Jesus. I tell you, we need to pray that the fire of God is not extinguished in our lives. God, I don't want anything to happen in my life that extinguishes the fire of the Holy Ghost. Loving this world more than God will extinguish the fire of the Holy Ghost in your life. My God, in the name of Jesus. I want to be set on fire with the Holy Ghost. Don't want to be married to the government of Rome. I want to preach the word and see His glory. Hallelujah. Somebody shout, let the fire of the Lord fall. My God, have mercy. We can't open the door just for anything. We can't. It'll kill it. It'll put it out. I want to know what we're going to do to revive it. What we're going to do to bring it back. What we're going to do to move back into it. Are we willing to make the necessary changes? I want God to either kill me or change me. I want the fire of the Holy Ghost in my life. Let me not set no wicked thing before my eyes. Let me not love the world. Your church.